Obviously, we'll look at all those things. Some of the best deals we've ever made happened in June, July, August. As much as I regret not getting a center, I don't regret any of our picks.
And the Orioles' rotation has taken another big hit with the announcement that Trevor Rogers is heading to the 15-day IL. All that's been said about the move is that Rogers is dealing with an undisclosed illness, and since the IL placement was made retroactive to April 26th, the earliest he can return to the team is May 11th. It's unknown who will take his spot in the rotation, but for now the O's have recalled Cameron Foster from AAA to help out the bullpen. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Dubo Law. After an accident, the world stops and you need help. That's when you call Dubo Law at 410-ASK-DUBO for a free consultation. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Ripping It with Ryan, sponsored by Dubo Law. Real people, real results. For a free consultation, call 410-ASK-DUBO. Here's Bob Haney and Ryan Ripkin.
All right, Total Request Thursday. Ripping It with Ryan. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripkin, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass, and we'll be talking to him throughout the course of the final 2 hours of the show. Coming up in about 35 minutes, the Orioles and Astros. Doubleheader, old school, traditional, one price, two games. Wasn't planned that way. You had to improvise and adapt, and we are a modern society, and you can make it happen because of the weather last night. In Baltimore, there's no way they were going to play baseball, so they're doing two today because Houston goes to Boston tomorrow and the Orioles go to New York, take it on the Yankees. First of all, let's bring Ryan in. First, Ryan, hello.
Hello, Bob.
What's going on?
Bob Nolan. Hey, man.
Always good to see you.
That's how good what? To see you?
That's about as excitable as this guy gets.
People tuned in to hear your thoughts on the Orioles, and we got to come to a screeching halt here because my hello wasn't good enough.
You know what? I got a smile out of him right there, Bob. And I know a lot of people aren't smiling about the Trevor Rogers news, but the O's do have a chance to win the series today. That would be nice.
Well, at least you knew about the Trevor Rogers news. Who's on the IL with the flu. Apparently, 15-day IL, and we were talking to Mike Bordick, our colleague here on BBT, an Oriole Hall of Famer. Like, I've had the flu before, just had it back in February, but it was more of a three-day, had a high fever, you know, had them dopey dreams a little bit. But then again, I wasn't pitching in 6 days either. Yep. I didn't lose any weight, as you can tell. But for Trevor Rogers, retroactive to Sunday, because he pitched Saturday poorly, got yanked in the second inning. This has to be something that is severe enough where he's going to miss at least a couple of starts. But since Rockabacco and Rich Dubroff and everyone that follows the Orioles, covers them, tweeted out, if it's the flu, we can assume it's only going to be two starts. But you can never assume anything, I guess.
You can. I mean, when you hear IL for illness, think, well, how sick are you? And there is concern. But if all is well, you get him right when he's ready to come off, he'll be ready to rock and roll. You know, but it's not ideal given the fact that coming off a rough outing, and maybe you can look at it was the rough outings because he wasn't feeling good as well. Trevor Rogers will probably tell you, hey, I got to be better regardless. But we know when the body's not feeling right, things can happen. I think right now, just in the short term, you know, it's testing your depth. Once again, Dean Kramer, missing time, tested the depth. Now Trevor Rogers hurt, testing the depth. And this is why you can never have enough good starting pitching or have people that can fill in. Oh, by the way, Zach Eflin's out for the year. You know, so the Orioles now have three starting pitchers that are spending time on the IL this year. So Brandon Young, it's been a great story so far for him. He's done great in his outings. And then Cade Povich, when he's been in the big leagues, he's looked to hopefully take a step. But this is what they have to deal with. And hopefully then you get Rogers right. Because at the end of the day, if there was some issues, Bob, with maybe he's out of sync and this could hurt him, I'm cool with taking an extra few days, get him as close to feeling as good as possible, instead of him trying to battling through and injuring himself because he's not 100%.
All right, let's get to him underperforming, assuming that the underperformance is based on, you know, missing spots and the other team, Boston, for instance, you know, just teeing off on him. We had Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun on a couple of days ago, and the velocity still plays like it was last year. He's having worse luck. These are nerd stats. With all due respect to nerds, of course, because you guys are smart and you make the world go round. He's having worse luck with batted balls. Mm-hmm. Where they were outs last year, they're hits this year. So it's not like he's had a dip in velocity with the fastball. And Ryan, he's never thrown 99 miles an hour, but he can get it, what, 94? Maybe crank it up to 95.
He'll say he can touch 95, but let's be honest here. Okay. You know, 92, 93, he'll say the average, and he'll get 94, 95 here. Maybe sniff a little 96. But, okay.
But yeah. There doesn't appear to be any sort of loss in pace.
No, nothing's changed.
So when we watch his let, and even when he was doing well, there was a lot of traffic on the bases for him.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue the bigger part here, I don't think that the illness is why he didn't pitch well.
Right.
You know, but I want to always give a benefit. When you don't feel good, you know, people want to look at Jordan, the flu game. Yeah, there's some cases where you can lock in, or heck, David Wells, if we want to go back to the days, hungover throws what, a perfect game? You know, like you can do some great things when you don't feel good, right? But yeah. I don't want to assume anything. But this is what I do know, just with my eyes and what I've watched. Trevor Rogers has worked ahead most times. He's gotten ahead. He's gotten to two strikes. He's been in favorable counts. But whether it's hard contact, soft contact, or whatever, he's just not putting the hitters away as much as he did last year. You're saying batted balls, they're hits now and not outs? Yeah, a combination of that. He was so historically good last year that there was going to be some regression. Regardless, because if he did that again, Bob, he's not one of the best pitcher. He's the best pitcher in baseball if he does exactly what he did last year. So I think for him, it was locating and being able to put away is just what's happened more with some bad luck. But there's nothing that I've watched with my eyes with Trevor Rogers to say, you know what, he's really falling off. You know, I want to cut him some slack. He was excellent for 20-some starts. And now over the last couple, you know, he's had some struggles where it really has been an inning.
Right.
Last time it was an inning, couldn't get out of it. And that's why it looks worse than it overall is for him.
Yeah, he got Ramirez in Cleveland, too, which a lot of pitchers do. But let me ask you this. Since we're talking about Trevor Rogers, you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Ripping it with Brian, Bob, Eddie, Ryan, Ripken, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Give you the Orioles and Astros lineup here in a couple of minutes, assuming he gets back to being above average, if not good. Expecting a .180 earned run average is, come on, man. That's Scooble. That's Kershaw in his prime. I mean, that's Chris Sale. That's crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But he rolling at a .300 and gives you quality starts multiple times. You need an ace. He's a pending free agent. You've got Scooble, Peralta, mm-hmm. I guess him. So unless Elias and David Rubenstein are going to go crazy money on Tarek Skubal, and I'm skeptical that that would be the case, but if you got a guy who's anticipated to be one of the three or four top free agent pitchers in the market anyway, and you're going to be looking for that guy, when do you get proactive if you're the Orioles and try to get this thing done before it gets acrimonious? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, Rogers has said the Orioles haven't even approached him yet about signing an extension, at least up till now.
You know, I don't know what to fully believe. Not that I would say that Trevor Rogers isn't going to say the truth on that.
Sure.
But it's also like when, you know, heard some comments that, you know, Gunnar saying if the Orioles talk, you know, or they say, you know, I'll listen. There's conversations, whether the player is having it or not. There has been discussions in general. So I don't want to, that's not taking anything away. And to be honest, I don't want Trevor Rogers to focus on any contract stuff right now. He shouldn't have to focus on anything. But the urgency to get it done, I think it's two situations here. It's what game do you want to play if you're Trevor Rogers? Do you want to go with what could be a good value, but you're not maybe taking the greatest value that you could possess if you go to free agency and you ball out in the process to get there? Or are you going to be comfortable with a number? And maybe that's $30 million a year. Maybe that's 25. Is it a five-year deal? Four-year deal? Whatever it may be, what are you comfortable with signing now? So it's not just about with the Orioles. It's what does each person want to accomplish? Does Trevor want a longer commitment? Do the Orioles want to pony up and give a higher average value salary? I don't have that answer.
Sure.
But what I will say is if there's a guy, and I firmly believe in this part that I think is underrated. You want to keep guys that want to be here. The thing with me with Ryan O'Hearn leaving, what hurts me, it's not that I don't blame the fact that you went and got Pete Alonso. He's going to be fine, by the way. And he's been fantastic as an ambassador for the team, and his pride as a professional, defensively, offensively, he's going to be good. But the thing for me was Ryan O'Hearn wanted to be here. That matters to not only a team, to the city. So when Trevor Rogers is saying, I feel like I found myself here, I want to be here, I think I can have long-term success here, I think that that should carry a little bit of weight. So when you're at the negotiating table, who's willing to give? But more importantly, how do we get to the middle? Because Trevor Rogers, in my mind, if he is 80% of what he was last year, he's a really good pitcher, and he should be a really good pitcher in Baltimore here for the foreseeable future.
Nolan, what do you think? You got a guy, if he continues at the pace he's been on, going back to last summer, who's going to be one of the most sought-after starting pitchers, going to hit the open market. Why not just keep him in-house while you have an opportunity to do so?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan's point there about how it's going to be hard enough getting deals done with other guys. You know, why not just jump at the opportunity of someone who's willing to talk? I don't know what their reasoning is for not reportedly reaching out to him. I mean, what's happened here in the past couple of weeks obviously makes things look a little different than what we were talking about after his first three starts of the year. But even just in general, coming off the year he had last year, to not even reach out, to not even start the process, was interesting to me and maybe a little telling. You know, you went out of your way to trade for this guy and identified all these things about his game that you thought you could unlock or reestablish, and he would be great for you. And sure enough, it actually happened. I thought he would have been jumping at the opportunity to take a victory lap on Trevor Rogers after the narrative on him immediately following that trade was, wow, Mike Elias, what an idiot. What are you doing here? Why would you trade for this guy? And then he had the chance to come back and say, no, who's the idiot now? Look at this guy. He's going to be one of the most coveted pitchers in baseball. All right, so do you want to re-sign him? We'll see. I mean, where's the disconnect? I don't get it.
I think Nolan McGraw's wanted something here. A year ago at this time, to Nolan's point, and Ryan, we were doing this. We were watching Stowers in the beginnings of an all-star season. I've always been Team Norby. I mean, he's had some injury problems. I get it, but you know, he's a ball player. Trevor Rogers, a year ago at this time, was pitching in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
He didn't make his debut until the Fenway series after Brandon Hyde had gotten fired.
I mean, look, Brandon Hyde getting fired, that feels like forever ago now.
It was last Preakness, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it really last Preakness?
I think it was last May, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I do know Brandon Hyde was fired in May, not like these other managers, which... Hey, you know, the Mets keep losing. We got one more day for a third manager to get fired in May.
Orioles could be a doubleheader sweep away from another guy being on the hot seat.
Well, they could be. You know what? If the Orioles... Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to stop right there.
Okay.
Let's not sweep. I know you're saying it takes four to have a winning streak. How about this? How about we win a series and we just keep winning series, and then we can call that a different streak. We'll figure out the name maybe for the next segment.
Yeah, just keep piling in victories. We'll come back, get into it. 410-583-1057 is the number. Orioles and Astros coming up in about 20 minutes. Game one of two. Chris Bassett talking about what he needs to do, minus three starters in your rotation as we sit here on the last day of April. How important is it for the Orioles to get above 500 heading into that series coming up this weekend against the Yankees?
This is the fan, baby.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan. Ripping It with Ryan on the Vinny and Haney Show. 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles take it on the Astros in a matter of minutes. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Weather looks to be better than it was last night for sure. Sunny, about mid-60s. There's your ballpark forecast, Ryan. Make you feel comfortable.
Thank you.
A little BBT style. Chris Bassett on the hill. He's 1-2 with a 675. Taking on Pete Lambert. Peter Lambert. Don't want to offend him. 1-1 with a 327. I believe is his third start of the season. So for Chris Bassett, we talk about Trevor Rogers' early season or recent struggles. Now, illness put him on the IL. When you watch Chris Bassett pitch throughout the majority of the season, not giving him length, a lot of traffic, a lot of location problems. What the hell is wrong with Chris Bassett here? His father time finally creeped in the equation. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, this is a guy that was pitching very well in the postseason last October and November for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I mean, I know there's a lot of emotion, feeling, thoughts, opinions when you see a pitcher that has had a lot of success and he's a little bit older. You know, you're going to go back. Where have I heard this story? You know, and I know Nolan right there. I can see it in his eyes. You think maybe goes back to last year in Baltimore. There's a pitcher that had no signs of slowing down, but he was older, and Charlie Morton, right? This is where the conversation always goes. Yeah,
we already rejected the narrative earlier in the week.
Yeah, good.
We're not buying that.
Apples
yet.
And oranges.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look at that. Well, okay, you guys.
But they're both bruised fruit.
That is a good one, Nolan. That is a good one. But the reason why I bring it up is I'm with you guys. I do believe it's not the same situation, but that is a perception that people look at. Why? Because he has gotten off to a rough start. But for me, when I look at it, what's different from him and Charlie is it was his control, but not in the control in the sense of so erratic. Charlie, looking back, a lot more erratic. And I was just sometimes even questioning the thought process on pitches, with pitches. His curveball is his main pitch, but he couldn't have a feel for it, so he didn't throw his other pitches as well. Bassett has 9 pitches or something like that, 8 or 9, if I'm not mistaken. And with that, 3 of those might work today, and you can be okay. I think for Bassett earlier, he couldn't get in a rhythm, but his stuff still looked good to me. I feel that each start, you've seen a progression. Last start, I thought it would have been really good. I really did until I believe it was the 6th inning. He gave up the home runs. The Orioles were putting up some runs, and then you hope for a shutdown inning, and it didn't happen. So Bassett was sitting a little bit, went back out. And I think I said this to you guys on Tuesday. I would have loved to have seen Chris Bassett only go 5 in Kansas City. Why? Well, it's a confidence thing. You got to see yourself have a good result to then move forward, and you can then build the blocks. The same argument I made with Kyle Bradish. You put a good outing together, then you can build the blocks after that. But the reason why Bassett went back out, one, he's a competitor. He wants the ball. But two, the Orioles couldn't afford their starter to only go 5 in Kansas City because the bullpen was used from the get-go when they were playing in Game 1 and went to extra innings. So Bassett would have had a really, really solid outing, Bob, from a number standpoint. So that last souring of that 6th inning is what stands out. But today, I'll just say this. We're going to find out a lot with Chris Bassett in a good way because he's facing a very talented lineup and a desperate team.
Yep.
So you could have 2 different options here, but if Chris is trending in the way that I saw, he should be good. But this Houston Astros team is going to be able to tell us how good he actually can be. And then if he's not, you know, we're talking a little bit maybe differently as we head into May.
Yeah. And their record overall is bad. They stink on the road.
Yeah.
But they can score runs with top 5 in runs scored, OPS. I mean, they're up there in some offensive categories. Alvarez is having an early MVP level season. But Nolan and I were talking about this with Bassett. Given the uncertain nature of Mondays, game. We're assuming that Povich will start Friday because he pitched last weekend. And then Bradish will go Saturday. Sunday will be Boz. And then Monday, so the last thing, and Brandon Young's pitching the nightcap here, the last thing Albie needs, and I'm stating the obvious, is to have to dig 12 deep into his bullpen this afternoon before they go up and play the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. And yes, Eovaldi took their bats and did nasty things to them yesterday afternoon in Arlington, but man, they mash. They have a bunch of guys that can make you pay. And if you're already gassed in the bullpen, yeah, they had the day off, et cetera, et cetera. But point is, Bassett, come on, dude. You got, and not a take one from the team, like, you're going to give up 10 runs and give us length. Go out there and give them some quality. Hopefully the bats can make Lambert pay a little bit.
And here's the part to my point, even just driving this home more, is that his previous start before the Kansas City one, he was at Cleveland. And he went five innings, had no earned runs. I want to emphasize the earned part. You know, there's some other issues, but
you mean the defense?
Yeah, there's a couple other issues.
Yeah.
But seeing that zero earned runs, five innings, that looks better. The one thing though that you can see he's struggling with, it was four walks in that game, and the next start, what's what I'm talking about with Kansas City. This was his longest outing of the year. And it was great to see. And he only had three earned runs, I believe, at the time, or two earned runs going into that inning. And then he gives up a three spot. The Jensen homer, Isbell homer. And you go from five, giving up 2 to 3 runs, to six, 5 1/3, and giving up five. And you see how differently that sounds?
Sure.
Five, no earned runs, four walks, but you go 5 and 3, you're building off of it. The walks thing for me is so unlike him too, Bob. Like, and let's just, this is probably my biggest concern. You just can't afford him to not be solid right now because of their issues with their depth. Rodgers is going to be, he'll be good. Rodgers is going to be fine, but he's going to be out for 15 days. Dean, it's going to take a little time for Dino to get right here. And then you already lost Eflin. So when we're talking about this, Bassett not being solid, Bob, puts pressure on the other staff to be really good. And of course, are they going to say we're ready to ring that bell and do it? Of course. But Bassett was brought in to be a stabilizer, a veteran anchor, not from an anchor staff of an ace, but be an anchor that if things are going wrong, he can at least help you stay afloat. And for the Orioles' sake right now, they need that, especially with this Astros lineup. And then you're going to go play the best team in the American League, your rival here this weekend.
Oriole lineup real quick before we hit the break. Come back, take your phone calls. Reports at 583-1057. Gunnar Henderson, DH, leading off. Taylor Woods in left field. Adley, he's on fire. He's behind the plate batting third. Pete Alonso is at first base. Dylan Beavers in right field. Jeremiah Jackson, Ryan, moves up the lineup a little bit to the sixth hole. Colton Kowser, back, he's at second base. Kowser's at center. Mayo's at third. Blaze at shortstop. Intriguing here because there is another game, but old Sammy Basayo has been swinging a hot stick. I guess we'll see that in game two, or maybe in a pinch hitting situation in game one here.
Yeah, maybe pinch hit, but with the double dip, I get it. You want to try to keep your catchers fresh, but I'm going to continue to drive this home. As the season goes on, I would love to see Sammy and Adley in there almost every single game.
No, Leody Tavares as well. We'll come back, talk more Orioles. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. The Ravens brought back a familiar player and a popular player. He just turned 40, but he's coming off a really good year for the Arizona Cardinals. Stick around. We'll tell you who it is if you missed it earlier.
If you're thinking about it,
every day,
we're talking about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
105.7 The Fan.
Hey, it's your buddy Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at Giant food stores, and you could too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo card, Charm15, Ryan Ripken, gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? A family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought there's got to be a smarter way to do this, and I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any Giant food store. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money for just buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any Giant food store. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Got a hot take? The Plaza Ford text line. 410-583-1057. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Most of the reception surrounding the Ravens' selection of Venga Ioane has been positive, but the biggest criticism seems to stem from the way the guard position is valued compared to other spots on the O-line. The Ravens just went through this with Tyler Linderbaum, refusing to pick up his fifth-year option because the price tag would have been more in line with the tackle market than the center market. Fast forward to free agency, and it turns out that center market ended up being more lucrative than anyone would have thought. Here's Eric DaCosta speaking on the Lounge podcast about the perceived value of Ioane and other guards around the league.
There's a scarcity of really good offensive linemen, so that drives the market up, especially, I think, if they can pass protect, because it's a passing league and most of the premium positions have kind of a symbiosis with the passing game. If you get a guy like Venga, for instance, who's a stone-cold assassin in pass pro, then that probably increases his value a little bit, I think.
And the Orioles will play a traditional doubleheader today after last night's matchup was rained out. Chris Bassitt was in line to pitch in that one, so he'll go first today while the Astros will send out Lance McCullers for a 12:35 start. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play the Big Spin Scratch-Offs from the Maryland Lottery. You could win up to $50,000 instantly. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Ripping It with Ryan, sponsored by Dubo Law. Real people, real results. For a free consultation, call 410-ASK-DUBO. Here's Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken.
Ripping It with Ryan. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. AL East report coming up here around 12:45. And then Ryan's going to step out for a little while. And Ryan, tell our audience here on 105.7 The Fan the important stuff that you're going to be doing that we'll actually be talking about later on in the program here on this Total Request Thursday.
Buddy. Oh, we're sharing secrets now already. Should we do it? Should we do it? Well, so it is.
I know. Yeah. Transparency.
We're all about transparency, right? You can't spell transparency without Nolan McGraw.
Can't
right?
spell it at all.
That's a good, you know, a TR. Well,
I was going to make a joke that it probably got us in trouble.
So yeah,
I'm gonna,
but
I'm
you know
move
what?
Move on with that.
We'll table that. And, and I'll just say this the draft just happened. There's a lot of buzz around the Ravens, the NFL world. And Bob, obviously, we're going to talk a lot of baseball, but it was a historic moment for Ravens history because, you know, Steve Bisciotti made a pick. Recently, that was the first that he's ever done. And he took a running back out of Clemson. So you thought, all right, Adam Randall, that's amazing. Excited for his journey. But I'm like, you know what? I would like to hear a little bit more about how Steve called this one coach. So we're actually going to have a chance to hear some clips from Coach Dabo Swinney down at Clemson about the conversation with Steve Bisciotti and, what he thinks the Ravens are going to get. And by the way, there's another Clemson alum that is on the Ravens team. He was a first-round pick
couple years ago for the Baltimore Ravens, Nate Wiggins. So give you guys more insight so you guys will hear that during the Ripping It with Ryan right here on The Fan.
Yeah, Nate Wiggins, yeah, that's level up a little bit. Year three in the league. And for Adam Randall, converted wide receiver. Dabo moved him to running back at the end of, what, 24 out of necessity. Then he played there all last season. And Vinny did his draft profile earlier this week. Very physically, not saying he's the same guy, but physically resembles Derrick Henry.
So maybe they
got a steal here. Who knows?
Well, you know, and above all, though, what I always like to do on my own programming when I come here, give our audience insight, Bob. So who's better to give more insight than the coach, the man who has been with Adam Randall for the last years and gotten to know him, but also can give you context on Nate Wiggins. And I want to see how he gives an evaluation on Steve Bisciotti. I think that's one of the fun stories, but knowing Steve as well, that guy is very dedicated to the craft of learning and scouting and studying. This pick, everyone's going to be looking at it. If it turns out well, maybe Steve will have a fourth round or third round pick next year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. How comfortable are the chairs at the Ryan Ripken show, by the way?
How comfortable are they? I mean,
because these are, let's just say I put a lot of biofreeze on during the breaks here at the 105.7.
Well, now, you wanted transparency here.
We're pulling
back
curtains here, baby.
No. New sponsor.
I got to put a cork in it because I'm going to start popping off.
Biofreeze, folks. Let me tell you about it.
Yeah, biofreeze goes with my Harry's razor.
Hey, you know,
listening, salespeople.
We're all about transparency right here. I mean, yeah, you're saying you don't want to give away too much. I think we've crossed the line.
Yeah, we've crossed. That's what my daughter says. Dad, you're an habitual line crosser. Like, mother bleeping right. Anyway, let's get back to the Orioles here. They sweep this doubleheader. They're above 500. We asked Mike Bordick about this, Ryan, about an hour or so ago. How, just from a mental aspect within the confines of the clubhouse, how important would it be for them to be above 500 going to New York? You've lost three starters. You haven't played an inning with your starting second baseman, your starting third baseman. You've had bullpen problems. For them to be above 500 at the end of April would mean what for Albie and his team?
I think it would be an amazing boost, given the fact that you felt that you played below 500 baseball for the month of April. And right now, you know, they are, right? I mean, they are not there yet. But it's when you're not at your best, or not close to your best, this is the part about consistency. And I know in the short term watching this right now, and hey, consistency, right? Well, Chris Bassitt off to a good start here. Good first inning. Now let's see if that consistency can last for another five innings.
Jackson with the Willie Mays there.
There you go. It was a nice play. But for the Orioles, consistency on the day-to-day. Make the fundamental plays. Put yourself in a position to have success. And the game's hard as it is. But you do that enough, you're going to stack up wins. And then for a season, though, when you look at April all the way to the end of September, trying to go into the playoffs in October and being in the dance, to get there, you need to try to be consistent with your results. Be able to get over the brutal times. Be able to turn the page. If you have a losing streak, don't sit on it or sulk. How do you keep moving forward? So the one thing I would say with the Orioles, and I truly do mean this, they have not played very well in April. And yet, Bob, if you could say this might be the worst baseball that we played for a calendar month and we have a winning record, that gives you the confidence to say, well, what happens when we do start throwing the ball well? What happens when Pete Alonso and Gunnar Henderson start making things happen offensively? I know that people don't like talking about the mental side, but it's a psychology to it. No doubt about it. You have to see results happen, and when you go through it, it gives you confidence, and you say fake it till you make it. Well, the Orioles could fake that they're a great team right now because their record could say, hey, we're doing this despite our flaws.
Right. If you put a gun to my head and what would you say the Orioles are as a team? Good, bad, mediocre? I'd say they lean towards the less than mediocre side, not looking into the crystal ball. But to your point, if you can navigate above 500 through a month in which they have sucked in a lot of areas, they haven't been blown out a lot.
No.
I mean, they got spanked historically almost last Saturday, but they just kind of hang around. But what's that fine line? Are they going to fall off into what they were last year? Or are they going to start to rocket ship up to being, you know, a competitive team in a very, let's be honest, very mediocre American League right now?
I mean, the best teams in the American League are the two teams in front of the Orioles in the American League East. You know, this again, the perspective for all fans out there, if you're not seeing the MLB standings. The American League East has the Yankees at 20-11 and the Rays at 18-12. That's 6 games and 9 games above 500. Bob, there's not a single team in the AL Central over 500. The Guardians lead the division at 16-16. And then the Athletics are leading the West at 16-14. So there's only one other team besides the Rays and the Yankees that actually have a winning record in the American League. So when you're looking at all of this, that should give you confidence because no team's figuring it out. I mean, heck, one thing, I don't want to say it, but like the Blue Jays have had a lot of issues. Bob, they're right behind the Orioles.
Yeah.
And they're saying the same thing, though. Can we get through this? Can we get through our rough moments? Because if we do, something will change eventually where we should play better baseball. But I don't want to look ahead. They got to take care of the Astros. But this first series against the Yankees to start off the month of May, I will say it does matter, especially the way that you lost to the Red Sox. It's important.
Ripping in with Ryan. When we come back, we'll reset the program for you. Then Ryan's going to step out, talk to Dabo Swinney, which we'll hear parts of coming up later on in the program. Get the American League East report up. Got your score updates from the Orioles and Astros. Doubleheader just started. Bottom of the first. No score right now. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Always fun to talk to him. NBA playoffs underway. Lakers had a chance to close out Houston at home. Could not get that done. Houston playing the entirety of the series for the most part without Kevin Durant. What if he comes back?
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Football heavy show. Femi Iambadeja, former Raven, will be in studio with us. Mike Silver was in the Ravens draft room during the draft. He'll give us the sights and sounds from the draft room. And Charles Davis, he's from NFL.com. What did he think of the Ravens draft? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Sponsored by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. Old Trapper, what's your beef? An era may have come to an end in Philly last night, which I know feels poetic for Flyers fans, dispatching Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang from the playoffs in their 20th season together, but should also be appreciated, not just in Pittsburgh, around the sports world, where we'll probably never see a trio of players like this or the Steph, Draymond, Clay trio that ran Golden State for years stay together this long ever again. I'm Chris Mack.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. Sponsored by Petro. For the best AC system tune-up and repair services, go with your local HVAC pros. Go with Petro. Visit Petro.com or call 844-482-2496 today.
All right, AL East report. Orioles, after getting rained out last night, playing 2 against the Houston Astros. Top of the second, no score. Altuve, it looks like he just singles the right field, so Houston has a duck on the pond, as they say. One out, top of the second. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Orioles come into this game 14-15, 8-8 at home. Chris Bassett on the hill, 1-2, 6.75. Houston 11-19, 3-11 on the road. Pete Lambert is on the hill. He's 1-1 with a 3.27 in the nightcap. Brandon Young's going to go for Baltimore. And Lance McCullers, the oft-injured yet talented right-hander for the Astros. He'll get a chance to throw that baseball in the division last night. Ryan and Nolan and our audience here on this Total Request Thursday. Cleveland Guardians taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. And we'll get to the standings in a minute. And Tampa's been, quite frankly, maybe the most surprising early team in baseball, but, you know, they took on the Guardians last night. Cleveland, they're no slouches, and their starting pitcher last night was really good, but one of their young sluggers came through in the clutch.
DeLauder bangs it through into center field. 2 will score. 3-0 Cleveland. Oh, there's the hit they've been waiting for.
That's DeLauder, 2 for 3, 2 ribbies. Mm-hmm. Guardians TV on the call. Gavin Williams, the Orioles felt that pain a couple of weeks ago. He goes 7 2/3, 9 Ks for the win. The Rays, however, Ryan, still win the series 2-1.
You know, you mentioned that the Rays are surprising people, and I think, and I was guilty of it to start, but not for the sense that I didn't think the Rays would be competitive. I said that. They are always competitive, but where I was wrong is when you think, well, how competitive are they actually going to be? Are they going to be 6 games over .500 and the second-best team in the American League competitive? Well, the answer is yes, and why? One of the biggest reasons, Bob, they're winning games because their players are staying true to their style, and that brand of baseball has led to all the success. They are staying true to their strengths, and that's Rays baseball.
Yankees taking on the Rangers yesterday afternoon in Arlington. Yanks were going for the sweep, but Nathan Eovaldi would have none of that. And let's just say offensively, yeah, I'm going here, forever young.
And there's a bouncing ball into left field, base hit. One run is in. Here comes Duran, and the throw's offline. Young drives in a pair, and the Rangers have the 2-0 lead.
Josh Young with the base hit there, as you heard, 2-run single. 3-0 was the final score. Rangers Sportsnet on the call. So Josh Young comes through with a big hit. Nathan Eovaldi, who hadn't really been all that great, Ryan, so far this year, he goes 7 strong. Four hits, no runs, obviously. 7 strikeouts. Yankees do win the series, but nice little getaway win for the Texas ball club there.
And I'm still buying the Rangers this year. I know, just like the Orioles and every other team in the American League, not the Yanks or the Rays, they're trying to find it. But when you look at this team, and Eovaldi's one of the guys on the mound that, you're right, has not gotten into form, but I trust the track record of a very talented veteran pitcher. And then they do have some really good pieces there. And Josh Young, right? He was the Rookie of the Year candidate up until he got hurt back in 2023, when then Gunnar Henderson ended up winning it. They got pieces there, but just like many teams, they're just not putting it together yet, but I think they will soon.
Also in the division, last game that was played last night, because the Orioles and Astros were out because of rain, Toronto taking on the Red Sox, rubber match of that series, and Ernie Clement carrying the big stick.
Clement hits it hard.
Dan Schulman on Sportsnet. Ernie Clement, 2-run shot there. Akimoto.
Mm-hmm.
You say tomato, I say Akimoto. He had 2 ribbies, and it was puffy pants time for Toronto. 8-1 over the Red Sox. Blue Jays win that series 2-1. And the big news coming out of Boston, Ryan, yesterday before that game, Garrett Crochet going on the shelf with a shoulder inflammation there.
That's brutal. And we're looking at the differences of the guys at the top of your rotation. Rogers going on the IL for illness, saying the flu. You feel good about that. Garrett Crochet, a little bit more concerning. Why? Well, his velo was a little bit down earlier on in the year, and people said don't worry about it. And now he's dealing with this. And on top of it, the Red Sox are 7 games under .500. There's still so much press around their team, where they say, hey, all press is good press. Not when your team's 7 games under .500 and you're trying to scratch and claw your way. So concerning for the Red Sox, Bob, but I got to give credit to the Blue Jays. We're talking about staying afloat. They are doing that right now. They're sitting just behind the Orioles, and their pitching staff and team has been decimated. Toronto here, if they can stay afloat for a while, they should be picking it up here as we move into May and June.
Scores on this Thursday, Major League Baseball. Bravos up 1-0 over the Tigers, bottom of the second in Detroit. Giants 2-1 over the Phillies. Don Mattingly, the new skipper there, bottom of the first up in Philadelphia. Cardinals 3-0 over Pirates, and Skeensy, they're going for the sweep. Skeens has given up 2 home runs already today, and we're only going into the bottom of the first. Guess who had the Pirates and Orioles in a 2-team parlay today? This guy right here.
Woof.
Yeah. Orioles scoreless, bottom of the second. Rockies 2-0 on the Cincinnati Reds. They're in the bottom of the first out at Great America Park. Those are your matchups that are happening right now in Major League Baseball. So there you go.
There you go. And also, by the way, that's NL Central. I mentioned that the AL Central doesn't have a winning team, right? Everyone's at 500 or below. Not the case for the National League Central. The NL Central, Bob, every team has a winning record. Now, if the Pirates lose today, they'll fall to 500, but Reds, Cubs, both with 19 victories, St. Louis at 17. It's been a very surprisingly strong National League, especially with those teams there. But, you know, it's early on, but it's exciting to see so far.
It's Ripping It with Ryan. When we come back, serve you a little football stuff with NFL Lunch. Ravens bring back a familiar face who's coming off a really good year, given his age, in Arizona. Then Ryan will be back at around 1:15, I guess, we're rolling with this.
Yeah, we'll be back. We'll have some sound bites there with Coach Dabo Swinney of Clemson and the Ravens. Bisciotti made history, and we'll hear about some of Coach's former, now players, that are now going to be Ravens.
And we'll talk more about the Orioles and Astros here. Bottom of the second, Camden Yards. First game of the doubleheader. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. He'll be joining us at 1:30. Get caught up with what's going on in his world. Talk a little NBA playoffs. Lakers now go back to Houston. They're still up 3-2. And his thoughts on what the NFL draft turned out to be.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.